Welcome to the AquariMax Audio Show with Russ and Kelly. We provide information on all kinds of aquarium-related topics.
This is episode 21, recorded December 8th, 2009.
Buonasera, everybody. Buonasera. That means good evening. We're going to say it in Italian because it's more exciting that way, and because we both happen to speak Italian, coincidentally enough. Anyway, what are we going to talk about?
Coolie loaches!
They have a long serpentine body shape if you are not familiar with them.
In fact, our little niece called them eels.
Yes, many people call them eels when they first see them because they have an eel-like body shape, but they're not eels or snakes or whatever. I've even had people ask me if they were actually fish or if they were something different.
Because they do look kind of funky.
Yes, they're very unusual and striking little fish. They also have very... several relatives that look very similar to them, and in the genus Pangio, P-A-N-G-I-O, and there are the coolie loaches, the Myers loach, half-banded loach, various different types. Most of them are quite similar in that they have bands all along their body, a dark kind of a brownish sort of band, and then a lighter band that divides that, that just continues down their body. It's kind of a striking color pattern, and they can be distinguished by certain variations in the color pattern. We're not going to get into that too much, just to let you know that there are various species, the Myers loach, half-banded loach, and so on, but they're all most likely to be called coolie loaches if you buy them at your local fish store, and then you can look them up and see exactly what they are. Their care and requirements tend to be very similar, so as far as that goes, you don't need to worry about it. There are also some types that are completely different in color. There's the black coolie loach, which is kind of a charcoal-y color, and then there are other types with... There's
Does
a neon green type.
In it?
Not really. Not.
It's just dark.
It's not banded like the other ones. Hmm. Well, stripes and bands are actually different, but we won't get into that tonight either. Just suffice to say there are many different types of closely related fish that we're going to talk about coolie loaches in general, referring to the genus Pangio, basically.
Okay, so who wants to keep this kind of fish? What are they good for?
Well, they are good for setups with somewhat cooler water. Not talking freezing here, but low 70s to mid 70s is usually considered ideal for coolie loaches. They're great in planted tanks. They don't damage plants. They're great in community tanks with fish that aren't big enough and aggressive enough to view them as food. They're not aggressive to other fish, particularly, and they, although they are capable of defending themselves to some extent from aggression from other fish, because they have a spine near their eye, which is usually folded down into a little ridge, but they can extend it or extrude it from these ridges, and it's needle sharp. Vicious little thing, and they can use that as sort of a defense. They can kind of flail around, and most loaches have a spine of this type, and I have fallen victim to it on occasion with clown loaches. And when I first had clown loaches years ago, I remember netting them out, and then after doing so, realizing I had what seemed like paper cuts on my hand, and I didn't know what it was at first, and then later I found out about this spine, and that the coolie loaches have been slicing me with this little spine, and I didn't even feel it at the time because it's very razor sharp. And I don't know firsthand or secondhand of any accounts of this happening with coolie loaches. Not to say that it doesn't happen, but I haven't heard of it. They having a much smaller body size than clown loaches, and accordingly smaller spines. But they do have these spines. Anyway, they're great in planted tanks, like I said, community tanks, and as long as the water's not too warm. And of course, you wouldn't want it to be too cool either. Mid-70s is good. Low to mid-70s.
Okay. Is there any other kind of information we need on the type of setup that they like?
Well, yes. They like hiding places. So
they're bottom dwellers, mostly.
They tend to spend a lot of their time on the bottom. They do go up to the surface, sometimes in search of food or to get a gulp of air, and in response to increase in barometric pressure, they'll often swim up towards the top. That tends to be a spawning cue for them, apparently, as well. But they spend most of their time on the bottom, and they do like hiding places such as plants, pieces of driftwood, stones, terracotta pots, PVC pipe, whatever you want to use, coconut shells, something like that. They like to have several hiding places, and in fact, they will often, a large number of coolie loaches will often cram into one small space. They seem to enjoy that. A lot of loaches are like that, and coolie loaches are no exception.
Okay.
And if they have these hiding places, they will tend to be more active and more visible in the tank because they feel secure, and so they'll come out and move around the tank more. So it's a good idea, and to your best advantage as a viewer of your aquarium, to put several of these places. In the tank that we have our coolie loaches in right now, we have a terracotta tray, the kind that you set a pot in, that's been chipped in such a way as to provide a little cave, and they spend a lot of time in there. There are also some pieces of driftwood and so on in the tank that they will hide.
Okay, what would be good sources for finding good coolie loaches?
Well, coolie loaches aren't terribly expensive, and your local fish store is probably a good bet, one that you trust, of course. They are sometimes very available, and other times they're not. The local fish stores that I've talked to have given me various explanations for this. Some of them say, well, they're seasonally very abundant. Actually, I asked them if they were seasonally available, and they said, no, not really, but once in a while they're all over the place, and then we can't get them for a while. Most of them seem to say something like that. Some of them said, we've had problems keeping them alive or keeping them healthy, and so we don't get them anymore. And I remember reading, I believe it was in Aquarium Fish magazine, that there was a virus that was afflicting coolie loaches. It said that if you can get them healthy, they'll usually last for years, and if you find them sick, they probably won't last very long. I don't know if it's due to that or to anything else, but they can be difficult to find. I've seen them in price in the last few years anywhere from about $2 to about $6 or $7. Except recently I was able to get a fairly large number of them, about a dozen of them, for 70 cents each, which I was pretty excited about. But this was at a semi-wholesaler establishment. No, that was nice. But it was the only place I could find more than one after looking for several months. And I finally found them and was able to get those.
So get them when you find them.
Yeah, get them when you find them and get several, because of course they're not schooling fish per se, but they do like to spend time together. They're a lot more comfortable if they have other coolie loaches in the tank.
Still kind of communal, even if they're not schooling?
Yeah, communal would be a good way to put it. The only time I ever had only one coolie loach was when I was looking for them and found only one in a pet store and knew that I would soon get some others as soon as I found some more. So I got this one just because it was the only one I could find, and then a few weeks later I was able to find more. Before that, I had kept them in smaller groups, but always at least two or three, and they seemed happier to be together. Right now I have 13 of them together in the same tank, and they're very active and very obviously more content with the large number of coolie loaches.
Okay. What do they like to eat?
Well, they're not terribly particular. They'll take flake food, they'll take pellet food. They like meaty foods, but they are not averse to vegetable foods as well. I notice they like peas, which I give to nearly all of my fish, from betas to goldfish and so on. If I shell a frozen pea and thaw it, give them to them, they will eat that. They'll fight the red cherry shrimp for those peas. But they love grindle worms. I give them those and they gobble those down very enthusiastically. They'll dig into the substrate. That is one thing I forgot to mention about the substrate when we were talking about the setup. They tend to like soft, very fine-grained substrates. Sand is great. And so I have some fine-grained black sand in there, and it really shows them off to good advantage. They're a lot more visible than they would be in a tank with, for example, lighter gravel, and they can dig in it. So it's a good thing to
it
use.
It's fun to watch.
It is. Fine-grained substrates are good.
And we put them in there to eat the amphipods, was it not?
Yes, we were hoping that they would help reduce the amphipods. in the tank, because this particular tank had a large number of amphipods in it, and you can reduce the number of amphipods in a tank by reducing feeding to the tank, the food source of the amphipods. Unfortunately, amphipods can, in some cases, develop a taste for aquarium plants. And since I didn't want to remove the aquarium plants from this planted tank and they were having fun feasting on them, I decided to put in something that would eat them. And the coolioches seem to have done an admirable job of reducing the number of amphipods in the tank to a manageable level. And we've got a small number in there, which is totally doable. It's not a problem for the plants. They're now thriving, and the coolioches, I'm sure, appreciate the occasional snack.
And what you noticed they did was they didn't really eat the adults, but they ate all the babies. So after a while, there just weren't very many adults anymore.
Amphipods. That's a good observation. I saw them sort of gumming the adults, and the adults would escape, but the smaller amphipods, I'm sure, didn't get away. And I have seen, like I said, many reduced number of amphipods, so I'm sure that's what's happening.
Okay, you mentioned earlier that they had a spawning response to barometric pressure changes. Is there any other information about breeding them?
Well, I haven't bred them, but what I've heard is that rain and the accompanying barometric pressure change can be a spawning trigger.
Raining outside, or do you have to simulate rain in the tank?
Well, ideally, I suppose you'd do both. From what I've read, I haven't done it once again, but if you keep the tank about half full, and then when you notice it's about to start raining, a thunderstorm's coming, or something like that, then you sprinkle a lot of distilled or RO water into the tank, and even aerate the water heavily, and that is supposed to be able to trigger them. They're egg scatterers. They'll especially tend to scatter eggs on the roots of plants such as water sprite that are hanging down into the water column, and then you remove the parents. I've also heard of people spawning them by accident in a place where they have either large grain substrate pebbles, larger pebbles or things like that, or they have an underground filter so that the eggs can kind of filter down into the bottom layers where they're protected from the adults, and then later they find fry in the tank.
Hmm.
So I may try that eventually. I haven't yet, but we'll see. Right now, the group that I have, I am fairly convinced that I have more than one species there, even though I obtained most of them from the one source. But I see some that have bands that extend all the way down to the ventral surface, and others have bands that only go maybe 3/4 of the way down their bodies and so on. So I'm not sure that I have, whether I have hybrids or whether I have a couple of species in there, what I've got. So we'll see. But once I determine that, I may decide to spawn them eventually.
Is there any kind of troubleshooting issues or anything we should know about?
Troubleshooting. Well, I would say not that I can think of. They're tricky to catch. They can be tricky to catch, so keep that in mind. It can be tricky as far as hiding. They're very fast swimmers, too, and that could be an issue. You've got to be careful about that. They do tend to drape themselves over plants and sort of hang there and look as if they're half dead, even when they're not, and kind of lie on their sides and so on. They'll do that sometimes.
Doing some aerial yoga.
Yeah, and it actually doesn't mean anything. Kind of like clown loaches do a similar thing where they look half dead, but they're not. They're just resting. So you might want to avoid being too alarmed if you see something like that. They're just very amusing fish to watch. To watch them eat, to watch them move around, when they smell food in the aquarium, or I should say they sense food, I guess it's not quite the same as smell, but the chemoreceptors on their barbels and so on function much like our olfactory receptors do, so I guess you could call it smelling. And when they do that, they get very active and interested in the food, and this funny little mouth they have surrounded by all these barbels is just amazing. They're
cute.
Yeah, they are. If there are fish that are cute, coolioches are among them. And I think there are fish that are cute, and that coolioches are indeed among them.
They've got some personality.
They do. So, if you want to try something that's a little unusual, but not too hard to get a hold of, and not difficult to feed or anything like that, give coolioches a try. Get a group of them. and make sure they have a nice substrate and plenty of hiding places, and they will reward you with lots of fishy pleasure. That's about it. So, buonasera, and what else should we say?
Merry Christmas. If we don't get another one out before Christmas, we don't know how Christmas
ends. Thank you for listening to this edition of the Aquarimax Audio Show. For additional episodes, please visit aquarimax.com. For comments and/or questions, please email us at info@aquarimax.com.